Can we please take our seats now? Morning, everybody. How is everybody? Excited for church? Yeah, that's what I like to hear. So today, during prayer time, before we started the service, I heard that somebody has a tea kettle that's ready for them. So what this means, what God told me, was that there is this tea kettle that has been heating up, and inside of it has your dreams, your aspirations, everything that you've wanted to do that you feel like God said no to, but he just said not yet. So that tea kettle is heating up and it's getting ready. It's just not ready yet. So he's telling you that today it's ready for you to be able to pour that hot water out, and all the stuff that you wanted is going to come into your life. So I'm just going to pray that for whoever needs that today. Why don't we stand for worship? Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you that we get to gather in fellowship today to worship you and to just lift you high, Lord. I just pray that as we continue to go out throughout the service and worship in the sermon, Lord, that you would just bless the people and their vocals and their the words that come out of their mouth would only be to glorify you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, I just pray that we would have an amazing day and that we would see you in it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We set our eyes on you. We set our eyes on heaven. We position our hearts towards you this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All distractions of the week.
we're singing this, I just feel like the Lord's saying there are areas in my life or in our lives that our eyes cannot see him in. And I feel like the Lord's just reminding us this morning that if we look hard enough, even in the messiest situations, even in the situations where it feels like he's nowhere to be found, that he is there. And that if we ask him, Lord, show me where you are in this situation, he is faithful to show up. He is faithful to show us, I'm right here. I feel like even there are past situations that we're asking that question. Lord, show me where you were in that situation where I was getting hurt. Show me where you were in that situation where that person was talking bad about me. Show me where you were in that situation where I was going through financial struggle. And the Lord is faithful to show you, here I am and here I was, son and daughter. Let's just sing this one more time for him to open the eyes of our heart, for him to begin showing us where exactly he was in our lives.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, and I want to see you, because I know you were there. I want to see you in every situation. Open the eyes and open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart, and I want to see you. And I want to see. Holy, 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 holy
Show us your glory, and hold us dear.
see your face. amazing grace. Are you, Lord? Amazing grace. Are you, Lord?
Over every situation,
we sing grace.
We're not going to feel like saying it every time. We're not going to feel like declaring God's greatness when things are rough. Because it doesn't feel great. I'm here to remind you, church, that it doesn't matter what we feel. The truth is that our God is great. It doesn't negate our circumstances. It doesn't negate the trials that we face. However, his greatness triumphs, trumps how we feel. So I just want to declare this over you one more time. He's still great.
Still great.
Over every situation in your life. Yeah, he's still great. Spirit come into alignment with the truth, cause he's still great. Even when it's rough, even in the sadness, all of it, he's still great. Oh. just pray that the goodness of God, Lord, would just invade our minds, God. It would invade our spirits, Lord, and that all things, God, all things that are troubling us, all things that are causing emotions to go awry, all things that are making it feel like we have no peace, God, that right now the goodness of God would just settle on your people today, Jesus. The goodness of God right now, Lord, over their lives, over their children, over their finances, over their friends and family, over their workplaces, God. Right now, the goodness of God, the greatness of God would just rest over your children right now. And we thank you, Jesus, that despite how it looks around us, you're still great. You're still great. You're still faithful. You're still holy. You're still there, that you've never, ever left us. We praise you. We praise you, Father. We thank you that you're a good, good dad. That you're a good, good dad. That you don't say, I'm going to leave and never come back. That you don't say, I'm going to do something and then not do it. But you're a good dad that follows through, and that you're still great. You haven't failed us. Why would you start now? Yeah, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. I just bless every person in this room. I bless every person that's watching online. I bless every person that is at home right now that couldn't make it this morning. God, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. I praise your name. I praise your name. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's hug a person, get some coffee. Love you guys. Check, 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 check. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody feeling? Good? Awesome. Did this turn off? Uh-oh. Oh, there it goes. Weird. Okay. So, we are going to pray for our city, because we love our city, amen? So, Caden, go to the first slide. We are going to, let's stand to our feet. Let's declare this over our city. Let's make sure that we're keeping a heart postured towards what God is doing in our city and not focus on what he's not doing. Amen. On the count of three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we thank you for our city. Yes, we praise you. We just believe, God, that you are still moving in the Yakima Valley, God, and that there is you have not forgotten us, Jesus. So we just believe it. We thank you, Jesus, and keep moving. Keep doing something great, God. Give us opportunity to love our city well, in Jesus' name, amen. And then the only slide we have is the giving slide. We appreciate you guys giving into what's happening here at this house, and I think everybody here is aware of how to do all that. So before I forget, I'm not going to forget, Miss Joanne, Pastor Mike's mother is in the hospital. She's had some health problems, and so she is scheduled to get a pacemaker in. And it was going to be tomorrow, but found out this morning that she possibly is going to happen today. And so we're just going to pray and believe for two specific things. One, wisdom for doctors, because there's a lot going on that they don't know. They're not sure what's happening. And and just for her body to come into complete restoration, to come into alignment from heaven. Pastor Mike and Gaylene did have to end their, not end their sabbatical, but they did have to come home early. They were in Utah, and they had to come home. They're supposed to be here today, and they came home on Thursday or Friday. And so they're, you know, obviously they're finishing out their sabbatical. They'll be back next week. But our hearts are with them and Joanne. So I'm going to pray if you guys can just agree with me. God, we thank you for Joanne. God, I just pray right now, Lord, as she lays in the hospital bed at Memorial, just down the street, God, we just ask that her room would be full of your presence, God. God, right now, we just ask, Lord, that you would, a touch from heaven would come over her body, Lord, and we just ask for complete restoration over her body in Jesus' name. God, we pray for her heart right now. We pray that her heart, Lord, would do what it needs to do, God, would do what it was designed to do, God, Lord, and that her body would just come into alignment with heaven, God. God, we ask for a new heart, Lord, if need be. We ask, Lord, that you would just bring her body, Lord, before your throne. We thank you, Jesus, for Joanne. We thank you, Lord, that she still has many years ahead of her, Lord, to be with her family and to be here with us, her church family, and to worship you. And we just praise your name, God, for healing her, God. We pray for the doctors, God. We pray for the nurses. We pray for all the people that come in and out of her room that are handling her situation, Jesus, that you would give them wisdom, divine wisdom from heaven, God. Lord, that they would be able to see things more clearer in this time, God, and we just pray for protection over her as well. We pray for the family. We pray for Mike and his sister. God, we pray, Lord, for the grandkids. We pray, Lord, anybody who's impacted by this, that you would just comfort them in this moment as well. And we just thank you, Jesus, for a good report. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, like I said, Pastor Mike will be... I just want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. Pastor Mike will be back. Pastor Mike and Gaylene will be back officially next week. I got to see them briefly last night when I came in to cool down the building. He ran over and gave me a hug and realized, like, oh, I haven't seen these guys in a month. And, you know, Gaylene popped in this morning and she said, I'm not here. You didn't see me. And so they're you know, even though it was cut short, I believe that this break has been good for them, and really excited to have them back. Really excited to, you know, see what God has put on their heart and whatnot. But I want to finish off what I'd been talking about, what I started the month with, this thought, stinking thinking. And you could put up the first slide there, just a reminder, the definition, or how I define this, is when your natural or carnal mind take over the truths you know about Jesus. Because again, it's really easy, even those of us who have been in the church or been reading our Bible or been heard many sermons, to hear truths, but then allow other thoughts, outside thoughts, to come into our mind and change the way we approach God, or change the way that we approach kingdom. And the goal is that we would always be kingdom minded. The goal is that, no, not that we would ignore the situations happening around us, but we first would have kingdom principles in mind. How do we do that? Romans 12:2. This is kind of our staple verse for this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we renew our mind, and when we renew our mind is transformed. Things, situations come up, like your mom goes to the hospital, and you're able then to see the perspective of heaven. Not that you ignore what's happening, but you see the perspective of heaven. And that's the goal here. You know, a lot of times people will hear this type of thinking, and you know, even Christians, and they'll say, well, you know, that doesn't negate the fact that there's still stuff happening. And that's true. There is. My perspective in this, though, is in our perspective, you know, this is kind of the stake in the ground. ground that we've made as a family is that yes, we're going to acknowledge that there's real stuff happening. We're going to acknowledge that there's a quote unquote giant in front of us. We're just not going to let our life be defined by that. We're not going to let our mind shift into a place where it said that thing is more powerful than my God. Okay, so I'm gonna keep renewing my mind. So I want to talk about a guy named Peter. If you read the Gospels, you'll meet Peter. And if you've and I love again, I know I've talked about this show quite a bit, but the show Chosen. If you guys haven't gotten the opportunity to watch it, I would highly recommend that you watch it. But what they do is they do a really good job of depicting what Peter was like, because Peter was your zealous. He was your yes, Jesus. Let's go. Let's do this stuff. Let's change the world. Like that's what Peter's personality was. And if you watch the show, you get to see that in action and see, oh, okay, yes, this is what he probably was like. And so, however, a lot of you know this story in the Gospels. Right before Jesus went to the cross, Peter denies Jesus. Peter, the one who is saying, if you read in Luke 22, he talks to Jesus about it's before this part actually. It's 20 verses before this moment that we're about to read here. Peter's telling Jesus, like, I will go to the cross. I will die for you. I will do everything. And Peter asks, or Jesus has to remind him, or tell him, you're going to deny me, right? And we don't get a lot of insight of what Peter was thinking in that moment, but just from what we can pick up from the personality that the Bible paints of Peter, I can only imagine how much that probably hurt. Because right before this as well, Peter's asking, Lord, who's the greatest, right? Right before that, Peter's trying to figure out, hey, am I your favorite? Where do I fall on this, you know, on your list of favorite people? Am I doing enough? And so in Luke 22:34, right, like 20 verses before what we're going to read, Jesus tells Peter, you're going to deny me, after Peter saying, I'll do anything for you, I'll die for you, and so forth. And so let's read this. This is Luke 22:54. And it says, then they seized him, and this is they seized Jesus. They seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's home. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also is with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you were talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, which Jesus had told him it was going to happen, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered the saying of the Lord and how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Following, this is when I read this, this is what I believe. Following Jesus became the most real in that moment for Peter. In that moment, again, taking Peter and his personality, zealous, excitable, Jesus, let's go change the world. In that moment, I believe that is the moment it became the most real how important it is to follow Jesus, how important it is to take this thing seriously. Any selfish motives Peter had previous died that day. Again, Peter was one of the ones asking, who's the greatest among you, Jesus? So any selfish motives Peter had, I believe in that moment when he realized, oh, I just denied Jesus in front of everybody. out of fear. We don't get his reasoning, but again, I can only imagine seeing Jesus, seeing your leader, seeing the one who's supposed to come and save the world just get taken away by mere men and about to get beaten and all the things he saw. Probably there was a bit of fear. So my first point is this: renewed mind equals you're less self-centered and more God-centered. You're less self-centered and more God-centered. And I get this. It's hard to operate in this all the time because naturally, our human nature, we lean more towards being concerned about ourselves. Okay? And I know this because I have 4 kids, and if you look at a little child, they don't care about what you're doing. You know, Tegan doesn't care about what anybody who's sleeping in the house. He's going to be loud. Tegan doesn't care that his mom's going to the bathroom. He's going to scream at the door. He doesn't care that we're eating. He's going to put his hand in our food. Like, he doesn't care because he wants to do what he wants to do. So naturally, now as he grows up, we're going to beat that out of him. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to show him the right way, right? But naturally, we just have this innate selfishness inside of us. But when you renew your mind, you become less self-centered and more God-centered. Okay, I want to talk about the God spot. I taught on this earlier this year. Okay, you can go to the first slide. I taught on this earlier this year, and I brought it up last week, and I just felt like I wanted to reiterate this for anybody who forgot or missed it, because this is, I think this is important. We all have a God spot. So in our lives, okay, if our life is the circle here, we have, like, where God should be, okay, this is the perfect case scenario for a Christian who lives a renewed life with a renewed mind. God is in the God spot. Go to the second one. And then we have a greater circle in our lives, in our family. This is where our wives go. This is where our children are. You know, and this close friends could be here. You know, sometimes we have friends that are like family. But this is, you know, they're on the outer circle. And the second one is friends. And so these are the people that we hang out with. This could be even coworkers and so forth. The next one is acquaintances. These are people that, you know, we see at our workplace that maybe we don't really have a close relationship with, but we see them Monday through Friday, or we see them, you know, the person at Starbucks. We know their name, but they're just an acquaintance. They're not really in that deep circle. And then way out there, we have Elon Musk. I usually when I do this illustration, the circle is way, the where I put the person on the outside is way, way, way out there. But the point being is that we have people, celebrities, people we don't know, we'll never meet, and they're way out in our life, okay? However, what tends to happen is, and this is just an example, is people that are trying their best will take God out of the God spot and put something else there. For this example, we put our family there. And it's all well-meaning. It's all, you know, well, I'm a husband. You know, I need to make sure my wife comes first. I need to make sure my children come first. Yes. However, if I can't put God first and I'm trying to raise my family in the way that they should go, and I'm trying to actually lead them in a certain way, I need to make sure that everybody is in their appropriate spots. Now, mind you, I'm not talking about church. So I feel like I need to say that, because as a pastor, it's concerning to me how many pastors will choose the church, the building, okay, this gathering over their families. That's not what I'm talking about. I won't choose this, what's happening here, over my family. So to me, this isn't what I define as this is my God. Like, this is, no, this is a Sunday gathering that we get to come and meet. But if my family needs me somewhere else, I will be there. That doesn't mean I'm taking God out of the God spot. That just means I'm putting priorities where they need to be. Does that make sense? Okay, so the God spot. I felt like I just needed to reiterate that again. Because renewed mind equals you become less self-centered and more God-centered. Now, there are many things. Can you go back to the very first slide where it just has God in the middle? There are many things. We all have a God spot, okay? There are many things we can put in there. We can put family in there. We can put money in there. We can put our jobs in there. We can put our spouse in there, our kids in there. We can put many things. Many things can fill it, but only one thing can fulfill it, and that is God, okay? There are many things that are gonna, you know, then this is why people walk around that don't know Jesus and they walk around with an empty void. It doesn't matter how much money they have, how much success they have, how much whatever they have, but they walk around, they still feel empty because that God spot is a void and they're just throwing something at it and nothing's going to fill it. Nothing's going to fulfill it because the only thing that can fulfill it is God. Okay? So let me read a couple verses. Matthew 6:33, this is in the Passion. It says, above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. I know I do this, and I know that I'm not the only one in the room, but if we can take a second and actually take an assessment of how much time we spend on worrying about things that actually don't matter, it makes me sick to think about that. It makes me sick to think about how much time I spend on things that actually don't matter. Because time is the only thing, it's the only thing we share commonly that we have that we don't have an abundance of, but we spend so freely, right? Like all of us in this room, we have different financial situations, and some of us make more money and less money and so forth, right? So we don't share that commonality, but we'll take that and we'll protect that and make sure we make budgets of that and make sure we don't spend here, but we do spend here. But time is something that we all share in common, but we spend like we just have endless amounts of time, right? We spend like I can just... like, right? And worry, again, it makes me sick to think about if I could actually have, so for those of us who like have an iPhone, every week, every Sunday, it tells you this is how much time you spent on your phone, right? And it's like kind of convicting most of the time. You're like, oh, sometimes it's like, it was down 7% last week. And you're like, oh, awesome. And sometimes it's like, it was up 55%. You're like, oh my gosh, what was I doing? And if I could see, I'm glad I can't, but if I could see like a bar, like a chart that said, this is how much time you spent this week worrying about things, it just makes me sick. So again, all of these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Why? Because if we seek him first, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, putting him first and not worrying about the little things. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live. Okay, when I become a renewed person and I have a renewed mind, it's no longer Eric is in this vessel, right? It's no longer me that's living. It's God that's living through me. Okay. Matthew 22:35. It says, and one of them, a lawyer, and this is the Pharisees talking to Jesus, a lawyer asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But I want to focus on that first commandment. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Notice there is not some of your heart and some of your soul and some of your mind, or just on some days like Sundays or some days like on Bible study, but it's all. Like Jesus was not afraid to use very definitive statements, because there are some things where it just, there is no gray area. How much of my heart do I need to love him with? All of my heart. All of it. But what about my family? Yes, you can love your family, but love God with all your heart first, and that will allow you to properly love your family. Love God with all your heart, and that will allow you to love your spouse properly, okay? With all your soul, with all your mind. Give God your mind. Give God, if you guys can get anything out of this, just allow God to take over your mind so that you can have perspective that he has. And I know this is easier said than done, but I'm telling you, if we continue to worry about things, like the Bible even says, I don't have the verse here. It even says, like, what does worry, like, what does it add any time to your life? It absolutely does not. It actually does the opposite. It takes away, okay? My second point is this. You are not the main character, Jesus is. Do we lose all our monitors? Oh, okay. Sorry. This monitor's off, so that's why I was confused. You are not the main character, Jesus is. This made me think of a story. I told my kids this story. It's really embarrassing, but when I was in high school, probably middle school, high school, more in high school, you know, I watched a lot of teen dramas. I was that kid. And there was not as much then as there is now. So I don't even know how kids even function with the amount of content they get of kids acting certain ways and whatnot. But I watched a lot of teen drama. And so my mind was just full of what teenagers, what high school should be like and how you should operate, and just didn't make sense. I would do this thing, really embarrassing, where let's say like this time of year, my parents would take me school shopping and I'd have all my new clothes and my new backpack and everything. And I'd put on some soundtrack from some movie, right? Some you know, like some song you would hear in a movie, like a teen movie. And I'd be home alone, and I'd put on my new clothes, and I would walk in the living room where we had these big mirrors, and I would reenact, like, I would act like I was at high school, like, in the hallways, and I'd be, like, walking with my backpack and my new clothes, and I'd see myself in the mirror, and I would be like, hey, what's up? How's it going? I'm like, this is what I would do in this situation, okay? Let's say the girl came up to me and I would talk to her this way. Or let's say, are you going to the football game later? No, like, cool, awesome, right? And like, open up. Like, it was dumb. Like, I'd be so embarrassed if ever, like, there was hidden cameras in my house and somebody said, hey, let me show you when you were 15 and what you did in your living room. Like, that's really embarrassing, okay? But in that, my point is that I had it in my brain, and I think a lot of people tend to think this way, especially teenagers, that they're the main character in this story. We are not the main character in the story. Jesus is, right? Going back to my first point, that renewed mind, you become less self-centered and more God-centered. I am not the main character of the story, right? And the sooner I can figure that out, the better, because then I become less worried about what's actually happening and all the little things that don't actually matter. And the more I become focused on, God, what are you doing in this situation? Right? We read these stories, the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel, the story of Esther in the book of Esther, the story of Daniel in the lion's den, right? And we read these stories like David and Goliath, and we say, David goes and he takes the stones and he goes after that giant and he kills it, right? And I've preached it, and I'll probably preach it again, and many preachers have preached it, and they're like, you know, you're David and go after your Goliath. We're not David in that story. God's David in that story. God's the one who defeated the giant. I'm not the main character of this story. God is. Having a renewed mind gets me out of that space, you know? And I'm not saying it's bad for us to look at that story and say, wow, David, like, I want to have, like, yes, I want to face my giants like David. I'm not saying that's not bad or that's bad. What I am saying is that if we can, for a second, just take us out of being the main character of that story and recognize that without God, none of these stories are even possible. Without God, David didn't have the strength and the skill set to kill David or to kill Goliath. Without God, we would the strength that Esther had to free her people and to the courage she had to do what she did, she wouldn't have. Without God, Daniel would went to that lion's den and would been the lion's food. Okay, without God, God's the main character in all of these stories, and he's the main character in our story. Okay. He's the main character. God is the source of all these victories, of every single victory in your life. It's not because you have a skill set. Yes, you have a God-given talent. Yes, you went out and did the thing, but recognize that it's because God that you have the victories you do in your life. Okay, Psalm 121, verse 2 says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord. Like, I can do a lot of things on my own, but ultimately, my help comes from Him. And I always look at it this way. I can do a lot of things. There's plenty of successful people out there that are doing things by themselves. But can you imagine what it would be like if they partnered with God and how much further they would be? I mean, even look at a person like, you know, I jokingly put Elon Musk up there, right? One of the most successful men in our world, you know, financially, monetarily, all that stuff. Okay, great. However, can almost guarantee he's not doing any of that with God. Can you imagine where he would be if he brought God into that mix? We could look and be impressed and be like, wow, amazing. He made all these cars and he's sending people to space and all this stuff. But imagine what he did, what he could do with his intelligence, with his skill set, if he partnered with God. Imagine what Jeff Bezos could do, even though monetarily it looks, wow, this guy's the most rich, the rich person, all this stuff. Imagine what he could do if he partnered with God. Imagine if any of these athletes that get paid millions of dollars, right? They look super successful because they're playing on national TV and they're doing all this stuff. But imagine what they could do, and some of them are, but imagine what the majority could do if they partnered with God and allowed God to come in on that process. It'd be amazing. Romans 11, verse 33 says, and this is in the Message, says, have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God? This deep, deep wisdom, it's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around you who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. I love the Message. Super good. He chooses to use us in these things. Okay? He chooses to use us. When I walk into the house with groceries, you guys ever do like a big shop, right? Go to Costco or go whatever, right? And you come home and you just have so much stuff. And then they put stuff in boxes, right? When I come home and my five-year-old wants to help, I don't think I need to tell you guys how much help she actually isn't, right? She's in the way. I'm trying to carry these waters into the house. Right? I don't need her to help, but I can give her a box, give her something. I can give her something to take, right? I look at that like that's like God. When he doesn't need us to do this thing. He doesn't need us to make this world work, but he chooses to use us. And actually probably more often than not, we just get in the way. Actually more often than not, he's like, okay, like I'm trying to do something great and you keep stepping in the way and I'm trying to do something great. Can you just submit and listen to what I'm trying to tell you to do, right? So, Philip, funny illustration, but it's where my mind went. My final point is this. Don't forget to properly place God in your life. The God spot. Don't forget to properly place God in your life. God 100% has you in the correct spot in his heart. Question is he in the correct spot in yours? And I have to ask myself this question all the time. Is God in the proper spot? How do I know? My barometer for knowing if God is in the right spot or not is any moment that I feel like I lost my peace. Any moment where I feel like the peace has left me, because I have to figure out, and I know I've talked about this before, I have to figure out not where my peace was stolen. Because I'm a child of God, my mind is renewed. I am a new creation. So once I have Jesus in my life, peace no longer gets taken from me. I give it away somewhere. So how do I know where God is properly? If God is properly in my life, I figure out: do I have peace? If I don't have peace, okay, where did I lose it? Where did I give it away? Because I chose somewhere to give. Oh. That job situation, I gave my peace to that. Oh, the engine light came on when I came home. I left it out there in the car because I gave my peace to that, right? Oh, you know, I can name off many situations, right? But that's how I know, recognize, Is God properly in the proper space in my life? Is he in the proper space? Or have I removed him and put him somewhere else? Because I'll be honest with you guys, it feels a lot better. And I know I'm talking a lot about finances, mostly because it's the most relatable thing. It feels a lot better and easier to trust God when I have lots of money in the bank. It feels really easy, because it is. It's really easy when all of our bills are paid on time, when the car's running, you know, prestige, when the house is clean, when Nancy and I are, you know, we're going on dates and, you know, we're looking at each other with googly eyes all the time, and all the kids are listening and the kids are clean and Tegan isn't putting his hand in the toilet. Like it feels really easy. But that, you and I both know, like, that's not reality all the time. I'm not saying my life sucks or it's that hard, but there are many things that come at us as a family, just talking about us, the Lopez family, that come at us that where our peace can easily be taken away. Jobs that are shifting and moving and transitioning, finances, bills that we get in the mail. Like, where did this come from? I didn't even know. Oh, this is something that we forgot about, and now it's, you know, doubled in size because it's late, you know, or cars break down, or family members, you know, outside family members that are calling us with their drama, or, you know, so there's real life that happens. But if I can stay steadfast in knowing the truth of who my God is and who he says I am, not to say it makes all these things magically go away. No, no, no. I recognize all that stuff's still there, but I have a renewed mind. I'm staying centered. I'm keeping my peace. I'm not giving it away to any of these things. I'm recognizing that's a real thing. We need to handle that. We need to pay that bill. We need to fix that car. We need to handle that situation with that family member and so forth. But in it, I'm doing it with God. I'm partnering with him. I'm making sure that God is in the proper place in my life, okay? Is he in the right place in my life? Because we're 100% in the correct spot in his heart. The last verse I want to read, this is Luke 12. It says this, "What is the value of your soul to God? Could your worth be defined by any amount of money? God doesn't abandon or forget even the small sparrow he has made. How then could he forget or abandon you? What about the seemingly minor issues of your life? Do they matter to God? Of course they do. So you never need to worry, for you are more valuable to God than anything else in this world." Let me read that again. You are more valuable to God than anything else in the world. This is the same verse where it talks about God, you know, has numbered the hairs on your head. You are more valuable than anything in this world to God. When you put God in the proper place in your life, the blur in life, becomes a little bit more clear. The chaos in life doesn't steal your peace. The emotions don't rule your life. You begin to have hope for what is broken in your life to be restored. When you put God in the proper place, okay, when you have God in the God spot, when you make sure that when you take an assessment, and that's all this is. This doesn't mean you have to go and you need to, maybe you do, but I'm not saying you have to go and completely like change everything that you're doing. Really what I'm saying is just take an assessment of your life and figure out where have I placed God in my life? Where have I placed him in this situation? Because if I put him in the right place, things that seem chaotic, doesn't mean the chaos will go away, but it means that my peace is not no longer stolen. Okay, things that makes me feel like my emotions are just going crazy, now those don't rule my life anymore. And emotions are real. Emotions really are real. However, the mistake that we often make is we begin to define ourselves by our emotions. And I get there's chemical imbalances, and I get all that stuff is real. More than that, our God is real. More than that, more than depression, more than a chemical imbalance, more than, you know, yes, all this stuff is real, but God is more real. Okay, and you know, just hear me when I say that. Hear my heart when I say that. I'm not saying like we just magically, you know. Like God's not a magic genie. He's about process, right? He's not. We don't just rub our Bible and then poof, he comes out and we get to like he's like, you know, genie. And you never had a friend like me. He's not that. He's someone who comes and says, I'm a good father, and I'm gonna hold your hand through this process. We're gonna walk through this together. Like that's the God we serve. And sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's not quick, but nonetheless, he's still a good father. Amen. So I want to pray for a few things. Really, I want to pray for one thing. And I'll throw my hat in the ring when it comes to this, because I know this is something I struggle with. But I want to pray for those who are holding on to control. Right? I want to pray for those who are saying, you know what, I've let go of a lot of stuff and given it to the Lord, but I want to let go of everything and let God do this thing. Does that make sense? You guys hear me? Because if we don't figure out how to do that properly, I don't want anybody here in this room to be mostly free. Like that, I don't. I want everybody in this room, including myself, to be fully free. To be free. Period. Right? Where you can you know, anybody at any point in time can ask you, hey, like, are you free? And you can say, yeah. Like, I genuinely have given this to the Lord. I genuinely have allowed Him to take this over. Does that make sense? So this is what I want to do. If you need that, I just want you to stand to your feet, and we're gonna pray together. Okay, if you're saying I want to let go and let God take control. I just want you to stand and we're gonna pray together. And maybe you've done this prayer before, maybe you've said, you know, hey, I've prayed this prayer, what does it matter this time? Having a renewed mind again means you have to do it again and again and again. It's not a one-time thing. It's not, you know, for lack of a better term, you got to go get your booster shot every once in a while, right? But in this case, you got to do it every day, okay? So I want you to close your eyes. Now I'm just going to pray, and I want you just to receive. And I want you to envision this weight. Some of you, I feel like I could just see like a weight on you, like a physical, like dumbbells on your shoulders. And I just feel like right now the Lord is just lifting those off and saying, thank you, son. Thank you, daughter. I will take these because I can lift these. You were never meant to lift these. You were never meant to carry these. I have you. You are so valuable to me, son. You're so valuable to me, daughter. I know this is hard. I know that the struggle is real. I know that you have been going through it, son. You've been going through it, daughter. But I have you because you're valuable to me. And you giving these to me allows me to move accordingly in this place. God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful Father, that you are a Father that walks with us in process. God, I thank you that we don't have to carry our burdens, God. We don't have to carry our burdens anymore, God. I pray for those in this space that are saying yes to you, God, that are saying yes, that they don't want to carry the burdens anymore. They don't want to carry the worries, the stress. They don't want to carry the stress of their home. They don't want to carry the stress of their marriage, the stress of their kids, the stress of work. They're giving it to you today, God. We lay it all down at your feet. God, we receive, Lord, we receive your comfort in this place. We're letting it go today, God. We're letting it all go today, God. Renew our minds this morning, Father. Renew our minds today where we would know that we know that we know that you are faithful in all that you do. Renew our minds, Lord, to believe that even though life can be hard, even though life can be rough and heavy, that when we partner with you, We've already won. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that there's no worry in our life that's too big for you. There's no worry in our life that's too great for you. At the same time, there's nothing in our life that's too little for you to take, God. So we lay it all down, Father. We lay it all down this morning. And we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Before we end, is there anything on anybody's heart that they feel like they want to share? Just want to not pass up a time. Herman?
Yeah, thank you, Lord. So yesterday I started thinking about life situations, not ours personally, but we've been hearing about families that have these issues. And for example, husband that drinks too much, a wife that's worried, people putting money up here and God down here and stuff. And I was just thinking how blessed we truly live. You know, and it's not that we have everything in order. It's just the fact that we have God in our lives and we've placed him. You know, even though sometimes we do get him out of the God spot, that was really good. You know, he's not forgotten. You know, like when I can't go to a men's breakfast or worship nights, I still think of the church family hoping it's a packed house. You know, I sit in the gap for my daughter because she's one that she kind of taken God out of the God spot and put other things. And it's like, you're only 19. Why do you have so many issues? You know, because you're not. I told her about the sinking thinking. Like, you're taking God out of its place and your carnal mind is taking over, you know. And we read Bible the other night and prayed and she was so happy. And she's like, I want to do this every morning. Well, get up. Has she gotten up? She hasn't. But these songs, they were great, you know. The worship songs, they touch, you know, because of his glory. You know, I thought of his glory this week. It's like, wow, you know, we're under his glory and how grateful our God is. You know, that song hit home. The renewing of the mind. You know, I try to live that day every day. This week, I kind of was a little back and forth and I realized, hey, I'm making a mistake. And this morning, I'm reading my devotional and the word in Colossians. And then my wife hears me praying and she goes, hey, when we went back to sleep, I had a dream. It was about this situation. I said, yeah. I go, that's not Christian. Like, I go, I got to renew my mind and put it in God's hands. So I just encourage everybody, you know, that be thankful, you know. And coming into that same spot, you know, I never forget where we were living in a basement, miserable, with our two nickels to roof together. And once we gave our life over to God, within 3 months, we were out of the basement. I had a job. We had transportation, you know, and I don't forget. I don't forget those things, you know, and it's thanks to him. If it wasn't for him, you know, I don't even want to think about it. I just give thanks for God and thanks for people like us in this church, you know. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Awesome. Thank you, Herman. Thank you, Herman. So good. Yeah. Yeah, give it up for Herman. That's good. God is good. Amen. It's a process, you guys. We gotta recognize that. We're not gonna get it perfect. You're gonna walk out of this place and your mind might not be renewed, right? You're gonna wake up tomorrow morning and your mind not be renewed. The goal isn't to, again, define yourself by that person, but be like, oh yeah, I need to renew my mind today. Amen? Awesome. I love you guys. We'll see you guys next Sunday. Pastor Mike and Gay will be back. Make sure we're praying for Joanne as well, and we'll see you guys next week. All right.